David awoke and went to the men's bathroom down the hall. He didn't have a room key, so he left the door to Sasha's unlocked. When he returned to the room and crawled back into bed with Sasha, he forgot to lock the door behind him. Sasha awoke to the sound of David's head cracking open under repeated blunt force blows. His blood splattered on her in the dark. She managed to get out a single, terrified scream before her temple was struck with such force that her eye socket collapsed. 8 people reported hearing that scream. 3 of the 8 checked to make sure their door was locked. None of them called 911 at that time. Instead, they sat in their beds and listened for any other strange sounds. But there was silence, and they went back to sleep. Officer Cornett scanned his light over David and Sasha's bodies. Someone screamed on the 3rd floor. He bolted out of the room and raced toward the sound. There was a stairwell at the end of the hall. He advanced upward, his gun held ready. When he reached the 2nd floor, he saw body number 4. Tristan Peterson, sophomore from Beaverton, undeclared. That night, Tristan consumed 2 40s and half a Mad Dog. He wasn't a social drinker or a party drinker. He was an alcoholic. He fell asleep in his bed but awoke a few minutes later. He covered his mouth as he vomited, which only resulted in the alcohol and stomach bile-scented chunks of pizza spraying out at awkward angles. His roommate, with whom he already had an unpleasant relationship, demanded that he go to the bathroom and clean himself off. Tristan was very susceptible to orders when he was drunk, and so he obeyed. He dragged himself out of the room and into the hallway. He walked into the wall twice and smacked his hip into a drinking fountain along the route to the bathroom. As he turned around the corner in the hallway, a claw hammer cracked into his forehead. It burst the blood vessels in his eyes. He stumbled around. He propped his back against the wall and slid to the ground. Tristan died in a sitting position with his bloody eyes open and staring toward the stairwell. Despite his efforts to stay calm, Officer Cornett audibly gasped when he saw Tristan. The body slouched on the floor, blood framing its face as its red eyes glared toward the officer. Officer Cornett quickly pushed the gruesome tableau from his mind. The screams had stopped, and Officer Cornett needed to locate the assailant. He raced up the stairs to the 3rd floor. 4 bodies would be discovered on this floor. 2 males, 2 females. Ritesh Rat, sophomore from Bend, political science. Justin Yamazaka, junior from Wailuku, electrical engineering. Ritesh and Justin never locked their door. They didn't drink, but they did own a futon. Their room had come to be called the Oasis, a haven where dorm mates could crash for the night if they got locked out of their room. As 2 self-proclaimed good kids, Ritesh and Justin enjoyed serving as sober guardians of the dorm. That's why they barely stirred when their door opened. They assumed it was another friend in need of a place to sleep. Ritesh died quickly from a single blow to the head. Justin awoke to the sound of his roommate convulsing. He realized that someone was in the room with him. The door was open and the light from the hallway backlit the man. All Justin could think to do was to stay quiet and pretend to be asleep. Perhaps the man would leave. Justin died from a single blow to the head a few seconds later. The attacker left the room and closed the door behind him. He would find his next victim 3 doors down the hall. Maddie Rector, junior from Boise, undeclared. Maddie lived in the floor's only single room. She was a light sleeper. Her eyes popped open the moment she heard her doorknob rattle. An ex-boyfriend had jammed gum in the strike plate 3 months ago, preventing the door from sealing shut. Maddie intended to report it to facilities, but it always nibbled at the back of her mind that she would have to pay for the repair. And so, she ignored the problem, hoping it would fix itself. She saw the figure in the dark approach her. As it raised the hammer above her head, she was too terrified to scream, but she had the wherewithal to block the blow with her arms. The hammer shattered her forearm. She rolled out of bed and tried to run away, but she got clipped with a strike to the back of her head. She kept her legs moving, but she was woozy and disoriented. She stumbled out into the hallway. She never looked behind her, never noticed